Here is a special reminder for our on-demand and podcast listeners. KFUO will be celebrating our worldwide ministry with Share-a-thon 2016, a three-day live event Thursday, April 21st through Saturday, April 23rd. Listen on our worldwide stream and on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis. Join us and enjoy all the live fun, plus hear from some of your favorite on-air friends. Again, Share-a-thon 2016 is April 21st through April 23rd. If you can't listen live during our 3 days of Share-a-thon, remember you can support us online anytime at KFUO.org. Just click a Give Now button on our website, or you can email us and ask us about other giving options. Email gifts at KFUO.org. It's KFUO supporters like you who make these worldwide online programs possible. Please prayerfully consider supporting KFUO today. And thank you for listening and supporting KFUO.
Once again with Pastor Mark Wood and the Student Union. You still doing good, Pastor Wood?
I'm doing great. Good to be back with you.
Last time we had Pastor Wood, who is the Synod's Director of WAR, which is Witness, Outreach, and Revitalization. That's W-O-R, but we like to have a little silliness as we come up with. We love acronyms, don't we?
Acronyms are fantastic. In fact, I don't know if you know this about me, Marcus, but I'm an Air Force trained acronymist.
Oh, so, wow! And yeah, an acronymologist.
It's like
we will have acrimony.
If you're not afraid, you should be.
You are a doctor. If LCMSU ever develops the way I hope it to do, as kind of this virtual university thing, we will give you a PhD in acronomics.
There we go. I think my wife dreams of such an honor for me.
Last time we had Pastor Wood on the program, we talked about why do we witness? And so today we decided we are going to give an overview of how to witness. And guess what? The acronymologist that is Pastor Mark Wood has an acronym that he's going to teach us and kind of go over some of the highlights about this kind of relational contextual witnessing in our everyday relationships. And maybe down the line, we'll have him come back and flesh some of these things out a little bit. But we thought a nice little overview would be helpful. So without any further ado, take it away, Mark.
All right. Well, yes, as promised, because Marcus Hill would never promise and not deliver.
That is true. I hope our boss isn't listening. This is not a call-in show, Pastor Day.
It's not a call-in? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I will say that that Bart is going to be plenty upset because you are the first individual in the department that I've had on other than him, and this is your second time. He signs my paycheck and you don't. So, anyways, take it away, Mark.
Well, I know your pain, Marcus, because as a parish pastor, I used to tell people I work for Jesus. Now I work for Bart Day. I mean, it was kind of a step down, really.
Redeem us from this, where we're going with
this. As promised by Pastor Zill, there's an acronym to help us keep our witnessing how-to in front of us. And it's, the acronym I use is LASSIE. Now, LASSIE was a very common name for dogs back when I was growing up because of the the show Lassie and the superstar Lassie, a beautiful collie dog who was always rescuing people, including her owner, Tim. Timmy getting into trouble and Lassie rescuing him. So the way this came about is I was serving in parish ministry in Florida, and Florida was a particularly challenging place to use the evangelism methods I had learned, mostly as a layperson, and I was trying to make use of them, and it just weren't going very well, and I was trying to teach the parishioners how to witness effectively, and so we need a different approach, something that breaks the mold, and decided we needed we not only need a different way of doing it, we needed just a new starting point, a witnessing approach that's Lutheran from the ground up. And that's where Lassie came from. And the letters of Lassie stand for listen, ask, seek, share, invite, encourage. So that was listen, ask, share, invite, encourage. And it's really intended to be a natural way of speaking of Jesus with the people who are already part of your life or who will become part of your life. It isn't seeking out after strangers. It's not going out and knocking on doors. Not that there isn't a place for those kinds of witnessing. I mean, that's people do that very well. But this is more for your average, everyday believer in Jesus who says, I just don't feel I'm gifted to be an evangelist or the call to be an evangelist. It's to remind us that we are his witnesses. He says so in Acts 1:8. All of us, every single believer is a witness of Jesus. How do I do that? What does that mean in my everyday life? And so today I thought we maybe just walk through these pretty quickly. There's a lot more detail that we could get into. And I'll put a shameless plug. Ready for my shameless plug?
Absolutely. We love shameless plugs.
There is a program that we're developing out of the Office of National Mission to teach this. And we're teaching it in different ways and providing different resources. But the name of the program is Everyone His Witness. That's four words. Everyone His Witness. And it goes into great detail about how do you use this Lassie approach. And I want to emphasize the word approach because it's not a step. It's not a series of steps. We don't say, well, first I do the L, and then I check that box, and I move on to the A, and I check that box, et cetera. No, it's going to be iterative. It's not going to work the same with every single person. You may find yourself jumping back and forth between, listening and inviting or asking and encouraging. But here are the elements of the Lassie approach. We start with listen. Now, that strikes people odd who've been trained in other evangelism methods, because most evangelism methods starts with us talking. We're supposed to be telling people about Jesus. How can we do that by listening? Well, the question I ran into is, how can you say anything to anybody that you don't understand where they're coming from in the first place?
Sure.
And if you don't understand a person's religious background, their worldview, what they think of religion, what experience, if any, they've had with the church, their attitude towards the church. You really need to listen to them for a little while to kind of gauge where are they coming from.
And that should be fairly easy to kind of take the pressure off you a little bit, at least up front, isn't it?
Sure. Because, I mean, what risk is there in listening to somebody? I mean, in fact, people kind of like it when you listen to them, don't they?
Well, I wouldn't know as much as I should. I talk more than I listen. I don't have a listen show. I have a talk show.
Oh, okay. But, well, you like... Let me put it this way, then.
It's not called
you
listen
like
radio.
You like it when people listen to you, right?
No, if my wife was... I hope my wife isn't listening. She'd say, well, my husband sure needs to work on that. So we need to listen. We need to be quick to listen.
Quick to listen, right. That's what it says in the book of James. Quick to listen, slow to speak. But listening is a really very important part of being an effective witness, because we hear things that people are talking about, it opens up their point of view to us. The radio station I listen to the most in my car is National Public Radio, mm-hmm. because I want to listen to what other people think. I want to understand their worldview. And if I just listen to people who think like I do, I'm never going to understand how other people think. So listening is the starting point for a witness of Jesus, to understand what's going on in the minds of the people that they're witnesses to. Now, ask is a part of listening. So we listen to people and we ask questions in order to really understand things that they're saying. And one thing about listening that I think is really interesting is it takes down a lot of defenses. So when we ask questions, we don't want to raise those defenses back up. We want to ask questions that are sincere and genuine, that are encouraging people to continue speaking, to give us the opportunity to continue listening.
Well, you're gaining a little trust here, right? That you're actually paying attention to them.
Right, because one of the things that has come out in studies that have been done by Pew Research is and Barna Group and Lifeway Research is that non-church people actually don't trust Christians because they think that all we want to do is save them. In other words, they think all they are to us are objects of conquest. They don't care about us.
We're just wanting to yell stuff at them.
And we don't treat them like people.
Which is a little different than what we tend to see on our college campuses with the Westboro Baptist type stand up on the stump and just yell at people that they're going to hell, which is what we see a lot of on our college campuses.
Yeah, and they're not listening, are they?
No, they're not.
They're not asking any questions. They're just yelling and telling and very ineffectively. So when we listen to people and we ask them sincere questions, we're showing them we care about them as human beings. And yes, it takes down some barriers. It builds some trust. It helps develop a relationship with a person.
So these are probing questions that are designed to kind of facilitate further listening and further...
Right, yeah. Or as I like to put it, just keep the conversation going.
Sure.
And because as we're talking with people, as we're keeping the conversation going, we have that seeking that's taking place. Now, remember, this is not a series of steps. So there's a seeking that's taking place while you're listening, while you're asking questions. And what you're seeking is, well, a point of contact.
This is the S.
The S, the first S in last
E. The first S.
Seek. So, not to be confused with, somebody who is a seeker, who's not a believer, who's like wandering around trying to find God. This is seeking as a witness. This is seeking, where is this person coming from and where do we connect? Where's our nexus? Where's our point of connection? A great example of this in the scripture is when the Apostle Paul was in Athens. He was invited to come and speak at the Areopagus, which was like, the Carnegie Hall or the Super Bowl of his time. And he's got this great opportunity to speak to these great philosophers. And, he's like, what am I going to say? Where's my point of connection? And he found it as he went around and saw all the idols in the city. And he found one that was to an unknown God. So he could have come into that Areopagus setting and he could have said, you guys are just a bunch of idolaters. Everywhere I went, there were false gods and there's nothing but false gods. And you are so lost. You are so stupid. You don't know anything. But let me tell you about the one true God. What would have been their reaction to that?
Sure.
But instead he says, wow, I've looked around and I understand you. You people are very, very religious and that's cool. In fact, I even saw this thing that said to unknown God. And I want to tell you who that God is, that God that you worship and revere but don't know, because I know him.
Well, if I recall right, he also found a connection to them in quoting from one of their own poets.
Right.
So having that familiarity, which blows your mind when you think about it, the fact that here you have a secular poet that's now quoted in Scripture, therefore being the inspired word of God, even though it was written in a secular sense. But he found a point of connection with their own, we need to know what's going on. We need to know what's going on with them, but also the things that are important to them.
Absolutely. So listening and asking and seeking, while we're doing that with individual people in our conversations, if you look at it in a broader way, we want to listen and ask and seek points of connection in our culture. what's going on in the social trends of the world in which we live, and be students of our culture, understand their worldviews, so we're not coming in ignorant. So, and that shows we care about people too. Right? So I was doing this witnessing event in Tampa a couple of years ago, and it was kind of a weird setting. I was connected to Halloween, so there was a lot of weirdness going on at Ewart. and so I start talking to this guy, and I find out, by listening and asking, I find out he's a RAF cesarean. I'm like, I mean, I've heard of that religion, but I don't know anything about it, I understand they use certain enhancing products in their worship and that kind of stuff. Rather than just say, well, I don't know anything about that, let me tell you what I do know, and shut them down, I started asking them questions. And while I still don't know much about RAF cesareanism, I was able to connect with him because I was seeking a point of connection.
Sure.
Which led to the next S of Lassie, which is share. Yeah. And ultimately, what we want to share is the one thing that can change people's hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sharing the Word of God. But what Word of God are you going to share with somebody? I mean, you got the whole Bible there in front of you. What are you going to share?
Are you asking me? I was busy listening. I was trying to be a good listener.
Well, they say put it into practice.
Well, you want to get to the heart of the gospel. You ultimately want to tell them about Jesus. You need to first, approach them with the law of why they even need a Savior.
Possibly. And how are you going to know if you need to hear the law?
Well, you have to continue the connections to see what they believe about God and their own need to have a Savior.
Yeah. So if we listen and ask and seek a point of connection, we're going to figure out along the way, here's somebody who's super comfortable in her sin.
Sure.
I need to speak the law. I need to share the law with this person, but I need to share the law in a loving way. Not like Westboro does, right?
Sure.
Right? Or if I'm listening and asking and seeking a point of connection, and I hear this person's crushed by the law, they're miserable in their sin, they have no hope and no purpose in life, well, now I know I need to speak the gospel to them.
And in terms of the steps, for lack of a better word, that when that happens, you don't go, excuse me, but I'm still on my A.
Right.
No, that's when you need to realize, that's okay, there's no more applying the law. then you need to kind of move on.
Right. So you don't want to be stuck on a step just because you think it's a step rather than an element of an approach.
Sure.
So I'd like to say, this is Lassie off the leash, okay?
Well, actually, I don't know when. I don't know if Lassie was ever on a leash. I don't remember seeing.
Well, that's because Lassie didn't live in a leash law community. But
boy, have times changed.
Yeah, times have changed.
So.
All right, so you're listening, you're asking, you're seeking, and you get to the sharing part. And this is really the thing: is we want to share God's word, but you can't share what you don't know. So this is really so important for us as God's witnesses to be immersed in the Word of God, just to fill our hearts and our minds with His Word, and let the Holy Spirit draw that out of us in these conversations. And one of the things I really miss about parish ministry is seeing that happen in people's lives. I had a young woman that I'd known for, oh golly, since she was in college, and she grew up and got... I officiated her wedding. Her fiance was also a member of the congregation, and I baptized her children. And she was developing as a young professional, really advancing in her career. And she came to me one day, she was picking up her children from the child care center. They said, oh, Pastor, I have to tell you this. I said, I was in this conversation with someone at work, and all of a sudden, all this stuff started coming out of me. And I was like, I didn't even know where it was coming from. It was like, whoa, I'm telling her about Jesus. And it was like, I don't know. It wasn't something she rehearsed. It wasn't something she learned in a script somewhere. It was the Holy Spirit drawing out of her all that stuff that she said to me, I know exactly where it came from, Pastor. You're the one who put it in me. She'd heard it in the preaching, and the teaching, and the Bible studies that she came to. God had filled her up with His Word, and at the moment He designed with the person that He wanted her to share this with, it all came out. So sharing is just letting that all come out. So fill yourself with the Word. You don't have to memorize these 100 Bible passages to be an effective evangelist. Just keep the Word coming in. Just let it fill you up, and the Spirit will give you the words to say when the time comes.
Well, I'll give you the Pastor Wood, we've got about 5 or 6 minutes left
right
here, and we got two more. We don't want to leave her at last.
Two more, right. So we have invite and encourage are the next two elements of lesson.
Ask, seek, share, and then invite and encourage.
Right. And invitations can take any number of forms. Really, it's all driven by a context of the relationship you have with the person, what's available. But ultimately, what you're trying to do is keep the conversation going, keep the conversation about Jesus going. And so the invitation may be something that you invite somebody to that you're going to take part in with them. That's usually the best kind of invitation where you're going to do it together. But it may also be to invite them to connect with somebody else. Because as you listened and you asked and you're seeking and sharing, you realize, you know what? I'm not really well connected with this person. We don't have a lot in common, but I know another Christian who really would click with this person. They would really go deep, a lot deeper than I ever could. So I want to make sure that when I'm inviting people, I don't limit myself to what I'm capable of,
sure,
but it's what the body of Christ can offer this person. This is especially important if you're having a little conversation with somebody you may not have an ongoing relationship with. Like I travel on airplanes a lot. What am I going to do? What am I going to invite this person to? Well, we have a whole body of Christ that we could tap into. Know what's available and make an invitation that...
Absolutely.
That's inviting to that person that interests them. And then the encouragement is just that follow up and follow through. You make an invitation, just do things to encourage the person to act on the invitation. If you say, hey, let's get together and talk about this more, follow through on that commitment you're making. Find ways of encouraging the person. Maybe it's sending them a little text with something you shared from God's Word. It could be an email that says, hey, yesterday our pastor was preaching on this text and I thought of you because blah, this was just so perfect from what you told me earlier. It shows that you really listened and you really care about this person as a person, and you're able to encourage them with the ultimate encouragement, the encouragement of Jesus Christ.
Well, and it strikes me that with this process that it can kind of loop back to the last two, and to invite them to follow up and to encourage. You could go back through this process many times, almost each
sure
time that you're gathering with them. And I'm sorry. I listened to you last time we got together. I'm not going to do it now.
Right. It's a highly iterative approach, not a series of steps. You'll go back and forth and back and forth, and that's fine because our relationships mature, and our conversations do as well.
Is the toughest thing. It seems to me, at what point does the invitation? We just got about 2 minutes left here, but the invitation. What I found as a campus pastor many times can be hey, you should come to one of the Bible classes we offer, or would you like to we do matins during the week at our campus ministry or something. In many ways, aren't sometimes the invitation, when at some point you want to get it beyond just your relationship with them, but to try to get them connected, but you have to get to know them first to know are they ready for that, and to make sure that doesn't sound too threatening.
Right. Absolutely. The invitation should be inviting to the person. They're ready for it. It's tailored for where they're at and what interests them. And so, this is where I tell people, trust the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is really good at this. Trust Him to guide you through this, experience of witnessing to someone. And it's just amazing what the Holy Spirit does and how He makes use of us to bring the good news of Jesus to other people. Now, obviously, we could spend a lot more time on this, and we do. I encourage everybody, take advantage of it. We see an Everyone Has Witnessed workshop available in your community, on your campus, or in a congregation nearby. Please, It's free. We spent a whole day talking about this in great detail.
Wait, did you say free? College students free. Love free.
Yeah, it's free. There's no charge. We're not going to make you pay to learn how to be a better witness of Jesus. We're going to come to you and provide it because we're the Church of Jesus Christ. We want to build up His body to His glory and for the good of the people that He sent us into the world to share His love and grace and mercy with.
So one last time. LASSE stands for, once again, just real quick.
Listen, ask, seek, share, invite, encourage.
Well, that's fantastic. Hey, Pastor Wood, we thank you for taking the time. Maybe try to get a little feedback from everybody out there, and maybe we'll have you back, as I mentioned up front, down the line, and we'll kind of go through these a little bit more more closely. But there's a lot to learn here. It's a great process, and as a dog lover, all the more reason to love LASSE even more. So,
all right. Well, anytime, I'd be happy to come back. And hey, and Marcus, yeah. I'm free too.
Yeah. Although our boss would say, "No, you guys cost me a lot more than you know."
Well, some things are measured not in money but in angst.
Anyways, well, this is fantastic. Thank you for taking the time, and you continue to have a blessed Easter. And we'll see you soon.
All right. Well, peace be with you.
Take care. We have time for here in the Student Union. Check out lcmsu.org and all of the archives of this show at kfuo.org. And remember, college is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help.